Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yo, what's going on, Winning Shot, man? We are set for another episode. The conference finals are set. On one side, you got the Knicks and the Pacers. On the other side, you got Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I'm telling you right now, if you bet that conference final, you have made some money because nobody expected it like this. But we got an eventful episode. A lot of stuff has happened since we did our last episode. Obviously, I was still praying that Boston would come through, and we will talk about it because Jalen Brunson and the Celtics let us down. But we're going to start in the Eastern Conference. I think, Hunter, last time we talked, it was 3-2. Well, it was 3-1, I believe. Boston was getting ready to go back to New York. And, you know, we wet the bed. We wet the bed. It seemed like we didn't even come to play after the first quarter. I pretty much turned it off. Let's start in the Eastern Conference, that series, as we finish it up and look forward to this Knicks-Pacers series. Let's start with the Celtics. So there's a lot of things in my mind in terms of, like, offseason and what we need to do, but we're going to have episodes in the future for that. But I just want to focus in on this game. Some of my initial thoughts was we have an issue, and the issue is Kristaps Porzingis. They said he was still dealing with the illness, but he just looked fatigued out there. And I think long-term, when we look at his contract, I don't know how he fits into this team next year. He might be a piece on the trade block. And the thing is, after that game 4, I believe, everybody, you know, was saying, you know, Luke Kornet is the missing gem, and Luke Kornet came back to reality. He looked a lot like Luke Kornet. And I was like, okay, if he's our 5, if this is the guy that we were leaning on, we're not going to win this series. And once again, this was the opportunity for Jaylen Brown to step up, and he got lost. A lot of times on the court, we were relying on production from Derrick White, and Derrick White could only do so much. Jrue Holiday and Al Horford honestly looked a little bit old. So what were your thoughts on this series overall? And let's talk about the Celtics before we get into the Knicks and what it looks like for the conference finals.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, start off by wishing Tatum a speedy recovery, of course. Yeah. I think when he went down, that was a big blow. Like, y'all got some good role players, but, like, it's only so much they can do.
Yeah.
Same thing with Jaylen Brown. It's like, it's only so much he can do. Like, surrounded by these role players. So it's like, they had their one good game in game 5. Game 6 came, boys ain't did nothing. I think Jaylen Brown had, like, 15. He had, like, 15 or 16 early, bro. And
yeah.
Nobody else was doing nothing. I'm like, okay, well, this is about to be the Jaylen Brown show. And then it went downhill quick.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What are they actually saying is the Porzingis injury?
Well, so from what I read, it wasn't an injury. It was an illness. He had, like, flu-like symptoms a couple of weeks ago, and he had been trying to get over it. And so he was still dealing with the sickness going into this Knicks series. And so they had been trying to bring him back. And I think he's good now in terms of the health. But I don't think he's in basketball shape in order to get back, because when you saw him on the court, he just looked a step behind and fatigued. So I don't think there was any apparent injury. I think it was all illness.
Because when I saw I think it was, what, game 5 where Kornet started the first time?
Yeah.
I'm like, dang, this man Porzingis out the starting lineup. I'm like, dog.
Yeah.
Like, I knew he was playing bad, but, like, dang, I didn't expect y'all to take him out the starting lineup. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean – We gonna see.
I guess from the outside looking in, because I know you're a Knicks fan. When you look at the Boston Celtics, I know we had a conversation about like Milwaukee and, you know, all these Eastern Conference teams seeing people getting hurt and just running it back because you just don't know. From the outside looking in, do you think Boston should run it back, or do you think that drastic moves are going to be made? Now, I will say beforehand, we are going to have to make some moves because the luxury tax has just gotten so high. But I just, from a pure basketball standpoint, what do you think should happen?
I mean, when you say drastic moves got to be made, are we just talking like the Drew Holidays, Derek White's, Porzingis, or are we talking like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, possibly?
So I don't think because of the injury you can move Jason Tatum, but when I say drastic, I mean everybody except him.
So even Jaylen Brown?
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. I don't know. Like, I don't think y'all should move Jaylen Brown or Tatum. If Porzingis is not fitting, hasn't panned out, ship him. Like you said, Drew Holiday is getting a little old. I would probably like to hang on to Derek White. He got good size. He can shoot it. Plays defense at a very high level. And a very solid role player. Like I said, like, it's only so much he can do in a situation where Tatum goes down. Like, he wasn't expecting to come in this series with that role of being the second option. I mean, of course, you would hope that he can step up and fill that void, but nah. But I definitely think he's a good third option for y'all. I think y'all should run it back with that core. Like you said, move Holiday, move Porzingis, try to get a little bit younger. But then, like, I mean, you look at somebody like a Nesmith, for example. Like, y'all had him, right? And y'all moved on from him. Now we see him. So it's like, I kind of view the Celtics in a similar role as like the Warriors. It's like, you had these young players, you moved them for these stars that you got. Now it's just like, okay, how do we put the complementary pieces around these stars to try to win a championship?
Yes, but what I'm thinking is that 2022, whatever that two-year window was for the Warriors when Klay got hurt and then he got hurt again and, you know, they were terrible, but then, you know, they got in position to go get, you know, either a LaMelo Ball or James Wiseman. We know the choice they made and it didn't work out. And so we know next year's going to be a wash. I don't know if Jaylen Brown by himself can take us to the finals, you know, because we're going to have to still deal with Tatum's salary, even though he's injured. So you're going to have to really rely on Brown to be the one role players to get you into the playoffs to make a run. Anything is possible, but I'm thinking, being realistic, why not just go ahead, save some money, because Jaylen Brown's contract is going to be, you know, kick in, and, you know, his just as much, you know, of a cap hit as Tatum. Let's start over, get some young pieces. Even if we're terrible, let's get in position to go get, you know, whoever. I mean, we could go get a Boozer win next year. And I don't know who's in that 2020, because I don't know if we're going to be that high to get like an AJ. But you got like Darren Peterson on the board, you know, a bunch of young talent, and it could really reset your franchise, because you think, you know, obviously the lottery, something we talked about last week, but the Warriors making that risk and just being terrible, they could have gotten AE. And I can't even imagine what the Warriors team would look like. And I mean, even if they had LaMelo, it might have changed the dynamic. We don't know. Obviously, we know that they gave up on James Wiseman earlier, but they had some great start. They had some good pieces. Like, you had a Jordan Poole. You had, I forget the other dude's name. He was from Oregon. Big guy.
Jordan Bell.
Yeah, Jordan Bell, who at least produced when he was with y'all. Now, outside of y'all, I can't even speak to. But it's like, y'all had pieces that were productive in y'all's run to.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Championships, you know, even when Klay came back. So I'm just thinking, our offseason strategy has to be a 2-year window. It's like, okay, these next 2 years, we're a year and a half, we're getting ready to sacrifice because we're working on Tatum's rehab, recovery. And for 2027, can we be in position to go surround Tatum with pieces, talent, and go, you know, chase championship? That's my thing.
So are you saying to, like, trade Jaylen Brown, move on from him? Or are you saying to, like, just put him on, like, a minutes restriction and basically tank?
Well, I think, you know, what Adam Silver showed you this year is that he's not a fan of tanking because all the teams that tank got terrible picks. What I'm saying is you consider every option. Like, I'm making calls and I'm taking calls by everybody. Now, I'm not necessarily saying I'm moving them, but if you get, I mean, even if you get like a sucker, like a Charlotte or New Orleans, somebody who has the top pick, the Brooklyn Nets, and we give them, they say, hey, we'll swap. The picks we got from New York Knicks, we'll swap that and give y'all Jaylen Brown or, you know, a package. You consider it. Now, obviously, I don't want that package because, you know, the Knicks are going to be good, so it's not going to be good picks. I'm just saying, if you get a sucker like that, the Trailblazers is somebody who wants to be relevant, I'm thinking about it deeply.
My only concern with that is, like, that man just got paid. Our team's going to be willing to pay all that money. Like, what's the contract situation with him possibly getting moved? Like, I wonder how that's going to play out.
So, okay, that leads me to this question. Do you think that Jaylen Brown can be a one on a team? Like, when I say like an elite one on a team?
Well, I mean, a lot of people were saying that he should be the one on y'all team. So, I mean, me personally, I don't think so. But, I mean, the conversation was swirling around about Brown versus Tatum.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he won finals MVP. So, I mean, he probably thinks he can. How far, like you said, how far he can take the Celtics as the number one option?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not too far. Maybe the playoffs. The playoffs. But other than that, you know, I don't see y'all making it out the first round more than likely.
I agree. I think that's the common consensus with a lot of GMs. And it's like, what is the package for Jaylen Brown? Now, obviously, I think there might be a team that will be a sucker and, you know, give us a boatload. But your point is what I'm saying about next year. I don't trust that Jaylen Brown can take us anywhere. So it's like, are we fighting for playing? Like, what are we doing here? Like, let's make some drastic moves. And yes, we may be terrible for a minute, but we know once Tatum get back, we're going to make the playoffs. It's like, can we get over the hump? So I don't know.
But then the question also becomes, when Tatum does come back, is he enough with whatever you have?
Would you trade Jalen Green, Taren Eason, and maybe a pick for Jaylen Brown? You would?
If I'm the Celtics, I'm not taking that trade.
Yeah. I would need Jabari in that deal. Now we could talk about it.
Yeah, I'm not too big on Jaylen Green, me personally.
Yeah, I know how you feel.
That just I see his name. Nope.
Yep. The problem is though, the only reason I included Jaylen Green because you got to start matching contracts. You got to match the salaries.
Let me get Sengun, and we'll give y'all Jaylen Brown and Porzingis for Sengun and somebody else and some draft picks.
Yeah, see, but I think Sengun is untouchable.
They're not doing that exactly. So we're not gonna have a deal.
Yeah.
Next team.
There's not many, bro. Like, because the young teams don't want to give up their young talent for Jaylen Brown.
I mean, unless you got multiple, unless like somebody like the Pacers, maybe you got multiple young players on that roster. Or maybe even like the Timberwolves. Like I said, like we talked about last week, you got Nikhil, you got Dante, you got Naz Reid. Are those guys coming off the bench?
Yeah, that's fair. Or, nah. Yeah, Yeah, and that's it. Nah, that's all I can think about. Because Lakers don't have picks or pieces. Clippers don't have picks. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Because now it's like you have to offload on Jaylen Brown and Kristaps, essentially. Because I don't know if Kristaps, you should keep that salary around.
What about the Bucks?
Thought about that. Like, what is the package for Giannis? That's the only person I would think about getting, and what would they be asking? Because you're not just competing with the Bucks; you're competing with every other team that wants them.
Yeah, and,
it would have to include Derek White. It would have to include, I don't know if he sends you back, but Kristaps maybe.
Jaylen Brown for Porzingis and some picks, maybe, probably another player, more than likely, at least three players.
Goodbye, Jaylen. Like, let's make it happen. I would do that in a heartbeat, personally.
Jaylen Brown, Porzingis, and Pritchard. What about that?
I would sign it tomorrow. Call the league office.
I don't know how the contracts work, but shoot. At throwing a first-round draft pick or something.
Yeah, I would do that easy. Because now I know Giannis can take you to the playoffs by himself. And I trust Brad Stevens to surround them with talent. And then when Tatum gets back, low-key, I would be interested to see the fit because Tatum can shoot the ball and he's going to be a threat. So you can't double-team Giannis. I would consider it. So, yeah. But let's move over to the Knicks. I know inside you're just jumping for joy. I can't even remember the last time y'all gotten this far. But New York is lit. I apologize to Thibodeau. I apologize to Jalen Brunson. I was not familiar with Brunson's game like that. But tell me how you feeling as a Knicks fan with this series and moving on to the conference finals.
Yeah, I also got to make an apology to Jalen Brunson too, man, because I didn't believe he was going to be that successful against the Celtics either. I ain't going to hold you. I thought Drew was going to make it hard. I thought Derek White was going to make it hard. I thought Jalen Brown was going to make it hard. They did not make it hard. So, hey, shout out to Brunson. Cat played big outside of some dumb fouls. He played big on the offensive end. Mikhail hit some big shots. OG had his games. Josh Hart doing Josh Hart things. I mean, the starters did what they were supposed to do, man. Of course, you know, the bench is the bench, you know. Deuce, he had a couple good games. Provided some good minutes, but other than that, I mean, not much of anything. But hey, shout out to the Knicks, man, going to the conference finals.
Who's been more valuable in this playoffs thus far, Mikal Bridges or OG?
I would probably have to say Mikal. I think. Are we talking about the whole playoffs, or are we just talking about
whole playoffs this series?
Because I also got to factor in that Detroit series because OG was big.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
That Detroit series. Because if it weren't for OG, that boy K would have put us out in the first round. Because Mikal wasn't getting it done on Katie. He was out there cooking. So, but I think down the stretch, especially on the offensive end, Mikal definitely hit some big shots. Of course, he had some games where he struggled. And we questioned about, you know, the five first-round picks a couple of games. But overall, he showed up when we needed him most, providing an extra punch on the offensive end. But also, like I said, man, shout out to Cat, man. Cat played big, too. Like, if it wasn't for Cat, especially what he did on the offensive end and rebounding, would have been a long series.
Yeah. So, okay. So I get, you know, New York has moved on to the conference finals. I get that, right? So has your stance changed about Jalen Brunson and his play style, holding on to the ball, and then it being the Brunsonettes around him? Do you think that that's enough to beat the Pacers? Like, all right. Has your tune changed from the Pistons series?
I'm still not a fan of how he plays. I mean, it wins games as we see, but I still think that we got strong enough pieces, as we showed last game, with Mikal getting 22, OG getting 23, Cat getting 21. Why we can't have that every game? Why we can't allow them boys to flourish like that every game? This man Brunson had 23, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. That's all I'm asking, bro. Like, you don't have to go out there and take 20 shots, 25 shots, contested shots, and get yours, bro. Like, we can spread the love, bro. Everybody can eat, B.
Okay, so another question I had. So I was listening to 520 the other day, and he brought up this comment. They said, I think Jeff said that Brunson's aura right now in New York City is bigger than Melo. Do you think that right now that Brunson is a bigger star than Melo in New York in terms of just Knicks fandom?
I think as far as like playoff success, and the buzz around the team right now, yeah, but like them Melo years was different, bro. Like his ability, like the way he scored, bro, the way he just like electrified the crowd, bro, like that was different, bro. Like Jalen Brunson hooping, but like he not on that level, bro. Like,
yeah,
it was people in New York doing the three to the head.
Yeah,
like I know Jalen Brunson got his little thing like that, but
you don't feel the same.
That three to the dome was different, bro. That era was different.
And see, you know, they were trying to make the argument saying that it's the personality, and I don't know if that's true, because the thing is, like I know Melo had the celebrations, but like Melo, in my memory, he wasn't like AE. He wasn't going at nobody. Like, I think Melo's game really spoke through the court, and just like, I don't remember a lot of off the court stuff for Melo, like banter and stuff like that.
But I will also say, like, when it comes to that too, it's like Melo is often associated with LeBron, who's the biggest star this game has ever seen. During his time in Denver, he was one of the most prolific scorers in the league. Like, he was going toe-to-toe with Kobe. So you got those storylines that people always consider and factor into it as well. It's like Melo was a bigger star than what Jalen Brunson is currently. Yeah, right?
That's right.
Like, Brunson is good, but it's like, is he top 10? Is he top 15? Like, where is he at? Versus Melo, it was like, yo, he one of the best scorers we ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I can agree with that, because, you know, you have the banana boat and being connected to Wade and Brian. Yeah, that's fair. And, you know, being with La La, thinking Black culture like that, you know.
The Olympics, too.
Yeah, that too. The Redeem team.
That in too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, so as a Knicks fan, are y'all content? Let's say y'all lose to the Pacers. Are you just content with, you know, making it past Boston and making it to the conference finals? Obviously, we know that every team wants to win the NBA finals, but in terms of bringing Tibbs back, in terms of keeping that roster the same way, are y'all content? Even if y'all lose versus the Pacers, we're going to run it back because we know we have a team to beat Boston.
Yeah, like we talked about last week, it's like, this team was built to beat Boston. Like, that's who they had in mind when they were building this team. It's like, yo, we got to get past Boston. Of course, Boston wasn't the one seed this year. But when this roster was getting constructed, when they made the Cat trade, I'm sure Boston was at the top of their list of teams we got to beat, right? So you get past them. I think as far as bringing this team back, bringing Tibbs back, yeah, as long as this series is competitive, which I think it will be, I think it's going 7 games, in all honesty. But yeah, I think you return this core. Like I said, definitely got to make some adjustments to the bench. Got to bring some type of bench production in. But, you know, Tibbs' job is safe. Everybody else's job is safe. They'll be back. the core of this roster would be back.
Yeah, it's crazy how a couple months can change, because when y'all weren't beating any contenders, everybody was like, yeah, this roster is, you know, at least we knew Tibbs was going to be gone. But it's like now, it's like, man, this roster is doing everything it was built to do, which makes me think, it's like, man, we're all just coasting throughout the year because y'all knew we're going to get to the playoffs, let's get in, and then, you know, we have the roster to win. So, I mean, shout out to the GM, too. I can't even be mad at what y'all did. Okay, so let's go over to the Western Conference, right? So we talked about the Warriors-Timberwolves series. That was over quickly. Timberwolves beating them 4-1. But on the top, it was very different with the Nuggets and the Thunder. They went 7. Both of them teams dropped games that she was like, what? But I guess let's start with Game 6 and Game 7. This past game on Sunday, yesterday, the Nuggets got blown out, and it just looked like, you know, all of them were fatigued. Michael Porter Jr. seems to be injured, but he seems to be the piece that probably will get moved in this offseason. Questions about Murray, but I can tell in that postseason, post-game interview, Jokic wasn't happy. He wasn't satisfied, clearly. But what were your thoughts on the series? And we'll start with the Nuggets.
Yeah, like you said, like when I was watching it, like boys didn't look like they wanted to be out there. Like Aaron Gordon was out there on one leg, giving it his best in Game 7. And he about had a double-double in the first half, in all honesty. Like he had like 8-8 or 6-6, something like that at halftime. Yeah. And like you said, he was putting up better numbers on one leg than MPJ. Like, bro, like, this man can't even run down the court, bro. You letting this man outperform you, bro. Like, you got MPJ is definitely gone. And with the Aaron Gordon injury, I honestly think that Aaron Gordon and MPJ could possibly be gone in the offseason. Not sure what Aaron Gordon contract situation is, but I could definitely see them moving both of them pieces. I definitely think this team is going to look a little bit different than what they look this year. But yeah, man, like you said, didn't look like they wanted to be out there in Game 7, man.
Yeah. You know, when we were talking about the schedule release with the NFL, you made a comment about the Bills and you said that you just don't know if they can win the way that they currently plan with no wide receiver, relying on James Cook and Josh Allen. You know, similarly, that's kind of how I feel about Denver, because I think they try to just, hey, we're going to rely on our cash cows, right? We're going to rely on Jokic, and hopefully we get a Murray-like player that steps up, right? Because some games, you know, Murray didn't step up, and you had Aaron Gordon step up. But it was so Jokic-reliant that I don't think you can ever get over the hump. The year that they won, a lot of factors came together in addition to Jokic. Like, first of all, you were playing the Heat, and I don't think the Heat team was good at all, but they made it. But even in that game, it was still Jokic relying. You had a bunch of energy guys. And I think that they lost their energy guys. You lost your Bruce Brown. I think he went to Philadelphia, Orlando, something like that. And so you replaced that with Russ. But I think at that time, you know, Bruce Brown was giving you a little bit more offensive production off the bench. And so Russ has been just so such a roller coaster that he brings the energy every game. But sometimes he's getting 3 straight air balls. And now you got to think, okay, should we keep him on the court? You don't have enough energy, guys. Like you said, that Game 7, I'm like, man, nobody wants to be out here but Jokic. And Jokic is over here directing people, and nobody's actually caring that they're down 20. And I think that's the biggest problem. And I just don't think that relying on Jokic, the same way the Bills rely on Josh Allen, you can't ever win that way.
And I think they're one of those teams that just show you how important role players are.
Yeah.
Even you look at the Thunder, like, in this series alone, like, the role players were big. So it's like, yeah, Jokic can get you there. He can get you to the playoffs. But after that, it's like, yo, we need somebody to step up. And especially with Aaron Gordon on one leg, MPJ, I guess, with one shoulder, allegedly. I don't even think the man was hurt, me personally.
You just think he had just a couple bad games?
I just think he was just trashed the whole series.
That's right. Because my thing is, like, you know, I've hurt my shoulder before. And if it's that hurt, I can't even move it. But this man was shooting fluid shots, like prime MPJ.
Jumper don't look broke. He can shoot. It ain't going in. The form looks like the same.
Like we talked about before over text, if MPJ would have had average 28, it wouldn't have been a peep. Like
they wouldn't have been saying nothing about his shoulder was hurt, nothing. Nothing, bro.
Yeah, bro. And it's always hurt on the defensive end, and when it's time to get rebounds, that's just kind of fishy to me.
6'10", you too big for that, bro.
Yeah, bro. And then the other thing too is, like, if he's hurt, get him out of there. Change the strategy. He is extra liability on the court because now there's somebody they don't have to worry about and they can attack. I just didn't get the strategy. Obviously, the winner in this, I think, is Mike Malone. And in terms of the offseason, what do you do?
And I wonder how they feel about, like, a player like a Christian Brown, right? Where, yeah, like, up and down all series, throughout the regular season, he was good. But it's like, do you view him as like a Austin Reeves type player where he could be that third option?
Austin Reeves.
Austin
Reeves is way better than Christian Brown.
Hey, man. Hey.
Let's not be.
But my point in saying that is this. If you move on from Aaron Gordon and MPJ, can he be that third option type scorer? Or do you have to bring in some other pieces? Or do you even move Christian Brown?
To answer your question, no. No. Because I think AR, his offensive production, is not reliant on Braun or Luka. I think it just happens to be there. But, I mean, even if you go back to them Oklahoma years, AR was a problem, and he could generate the offense himself. I think Christian Braun is very reliant on the production from Jokic, the production from Murray, those double teams from Jokic, him finding him, Braun in the corner, and making plays, right? But I think you have the game plan for Braun, it's going to look like a bunch of 6-6 games, a bunch of maybe 12-6. And I just don't think that's sustainable. Like, you have to package pieces together, go get him a star. Because even if Braun does emerge into that player, he's not on the same timeline as Jokic is right now. Jokic is the best player in the world, and he wants to win championships. I don't think you should rely on Braun to be your second or third option because that's not sustainable.
So do you keep Jamal Murray this offseason as well?
Think like the Celtics. You got to anticipate any call and be willing. Because the thing is with Murray, yes, he produces, but he also has a long track record with his injury history. So you just don't know if that – Murray is going to be sustainable for 82 games plus the playoffs. Only person I think you really keep is Russ. And I mean, I'm not like happy saying that, but you just know he's going to bring energy and he has the player option. So if we can get him at $3 million, a $3 million Russ is worth it. Now, if you're paying a $44 million, okay, now we're going to have some conversation. But everybody on that roster, I mean, you got to get rid of that Zeke Nnaji contract. He's got like $35 million just sitting on the bench. I mean, I think you have some promise with Julian Strother. I think keep him. I don't know about Peyton Watson. Didn't watch much and wasn't a big fan when I did see him. Obviously, you probably got to unload on DeAndre Jordan, go bring in another vet. But I think the problem is, like, who's out there, right? I don't know. Like, I sent you in the Substack. Like, I don't know if they're making that kind of trade with Giannis. And, you know, can we explore KD? What does Phoenix want? I don't know. I don't know if there's enough out there to say, hey, Jokic, we're going to do this to move. And I know you're not moving off of Jokic, but that's probably your best option in terms of getting assets back because everybody else is kind of fringe.
Yeah, I think it depends on what they want, really, because, I mean, sure, if Jokic is still on that roster, that's a good negotiating chip to be like, yo, you can come play with the best player in the world.
Yeah.
So if a Jamal Murray trade were to happen – it's like, yo, do you bring in a guard? Do you bring in, like what kind of player are you bringing in to kind of pair with you, with Jokic?
Would Jaylen Brown work?
Possibly.
That's the only person I can think on the table.
I just wonder what that package looked like. Like, for Jaylen Brown, though, like, is it Jamal Murray, MPJ, and Gordon, or just Jamal Murray and MPJ and a draft pick maybe or something? I don't know.
But see, I think it's kind of the same argument we're making with Jaylen Brown. I don't know if people want to pay MPJ that money. And what if it is the shoulder? Because, you know, some people in shoulders, it don't just go away. This is lingering issue.
And he does have injury history with the going back to high school. With the back.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think he has Jokic himself has to put every option on the table. And I know Jokic probably going to get a statue in Denver. But if his desire is to win, I think you gotta have to sit down with the owner and say, what is the long-term vision? Where are we going from here? And if not.
Did you ever hear anything about his thoughts on, like, the Michael Malone firing and the GM being?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And going, did he ever come out and say anything about that?
Not to my knowledge. Like, I think, you know, he said that they did. He said he was involved. Like, he heard from the management about it, but he didn't have any concrete opinions that he put out there.
Because I'm sure that probably will play a factor as well, too. Like, if he does want to get out of Denver, like, bro, y'all done fired the GM and y'all fired my head coach. Like, oh. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason in Denver, man, for sure. Like I said, I don't think this – maybe if they decide to keep Murray, maybe Murray and Jokic are the two that stays. But other than that, like, anybody else is up for grabs for real, in my opinion.
I agree with you, bro. I just don't know what people want from that. Like, I just – like, what the value of all of it is. Maybe if you package all of them together, you can get a three. Maybe if that is the done deal for Phoenix to go get KD. But the thing is, do I sacrifice all that for KD? Because I'm getting 2 years, hopefully, but I don't know.
And then it's like, what other players are available? Like, shoot, throughout this season, bro, we saw a good bit of people get moved, bro. Like, big names, like Jimmy Butler, Luka, De'Aaron Fox. So it's like, do you go get a Trae Young? Like who else is out there that you can go get that can either fit with Jokic or, you know, be built around?
I don't know. I don't know at all, bro. Yeah. Because like you said, there is a big selling point with playing Jokic. But then you also got to evaluate, does Jokic really desire to be there? Because if it doesn't, do I make a Kareem type trade and just say, hey, he gave us a championship. While he's at the prime of his career, let's go get a Herschel Walker type deal, something that's historical, right? That's the other option. And I know it sucks, but it's like sometimes poor management and leadership, it'll get you into that place where you have to sell things you don't want to. And I think that's kind of the situation right now because they didn't hit on their past draft picks. So I don't know. You say, hey, we're going to go try like Boston and go get a top pick. We're going to have tons of picks and we send Jokic wherever he wants to. Because Jokic could literally say, hey, I want to go to Los Angeles. And I'm not sending him unless they give me a boatload. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's in a better situation right now, Jokic or Giannis?
I figure someone with them two teams was coming. A better situation for what? As far as what? Like trying to get out or like staying and winning the championship?
Having a star on their roster who you don't know what the future holds. Who's in a better position as a GM? Would you rather be a GM of the Bucks or GM of the Nuggets right now?
Oh, Nuggets. Nuggets. Because it sounds like Giannis out the door, in all honesty. Like, especially with that Dame injury, bro. Like, but he don't want to go through that. So it sounds like he probably, if not this offseason, he going after next year. At least with Jokic, just like, we ain't heard that yet. That he possibly want to get out or, you know, that he wants to move on from Denver. So shoot, I got the best player in the world. We're just going to try to build around him. That's all you can do in that situation and hope he decides to stay. Get his opinion on, is Murray the guy that you want? Or, you know, is MPJ the guy that you want? Is Aaron Gordon the guy that you want? If not, we moving him. Who would you like, Mr. Jokic? Because clearly the Bucks tried to do that. They went and got Dame. They traded Drew Holiday. They traded Chris Middleton and brought in Kuzma. So they tried, and it already failed. Denver ain't tried yet. So, shoot, if I'm Denver, let's at least take a swing. Try to go get somebody, bring somebody else in.
I agree. It's going to be an interesting offseason. Okay, so let's go to the Thunder. So, anything concern you about them taking, well, the Nuggets taking them to 7? I guess we'll start there. And for the Thunder, do they have everything they need to win at all based on what you saw from the series?
I don't know about winning at all, because I have some question marks about Chet. And as we saw with Jalen Williams having 6 points in the game, just like, bro, like, we need consistency. We need consistency. I'm not concerned that Denver took them 7 games. They're a championship caliber team. Denver is. They have the experience. So they gave them a test. OKC passed the test. But as far as them winning it all, yeah, I am concerned. Like I said, Jalen Williams and Chet. Granted, they do have a bench where they can bring in Caruso, they can bring in Wiggins, they can bring in Isaiah Joe, Cason Wallace, very solid pieces who can help and, like I said, step up and be contributors if somebody is lacking. But your stars got to show up too. And if Jalen Williams, the starting Jalen Williams, is the second star, second option, he got to show up and be consistent.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I think I don't want Jalen Williams to turn into a triple single like Green, but we just got to see, because a lot of it, like you said before, it kind of comes down to play style, because it seems like they're all sitting around, and SGA doesn't have any options, then he'll pass it, which I don't think is feasible to win a championship. I guess the biggest thing with the Thunder to me is just a little bit of inexperience, because, you know, throughout that series, I was even watching the game Sunday, and I was like, Mike Malone would have won this game, like, if he was on the sideline for the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. And that kind of worries me with Martin Dienhall, the coach for the Thunder, because it seems like they're not making any in-game adjustments. Mm-hmm. Because, like you said, with that game 6, game 5, when Chet, you know, had mismatches and all in the overtime, it's like, if I'm a coach, I'm like, hey, SGA, let's go to him, right? Let's swing the ball, get him on the post. Mm-hmm. And that kind of inexperience frightens me, because, you know, say what you want about Chris Finch, he's been there before. He knows, you know, how to game plan, how to strategize, how to put rosters together at certain moments. And that kind of worries me in terms of them moving forward. I think, like mm-hmm. you said, they did pass the test. And so the question the next round is going to be, is this just a growing pain? Are you just making it to a Western Conference Finals and then getting to the finals? Is it like that, you know, like that stepping stone? Because the danger in that, and I don't think it's the similar, you know, I don't think SGA is leaving, but we all thought that, hey, we're going to run Harden, Russ, and KD back, and it's going to be seamless. And then they've never been back since then. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm saying is, like, you got to take these moments, because it's no guarantee that you'll be back. You mean, you saw the thing with Mike Conley when he said he ain't been back in 12 years. So yeah. I just think with that kind of team, I guess, you know, we'll get a good litmus test with Chet and Jalen Williams after the series, but I think if they lose the series at least handedly, you got to make some serious conversations about their role players, and do you go good a star? You might need a new coach. I'm not saying he's bad, because he just had a coach of the year, but it's like, you can't run it back with the same strategy.
And I will say one thing that I have liked is the double big lineup that they've been running, but they haven't taken advantage of it on the offensive end. Now, against the Timberwolves, they might not be able to take advantage of it, because the Timberwolves got two towers down there too that they can run a double big lineup with. And I think, me personally, their double big lineup is more dangerous than OKC's double big lineup.
We run that again.
Nas Reed and Gobert down low versus Hartenstein and Chet. Based off what we've seen, barbecue chicken for whoever guarding Nas Reed. And like we just talked about, if Chet want to hang around on the perimeter, cool.
I agree with that.
but one thing that I will say, and you mentioned it just now when you were talking about OKC, was like how everybody just kind of stands around and waits on SGA to do something similar to the Knicks. The only difference with the Knicks is they're a bit older. They got the experience. They got older guys standing around looking, watching Jalen Brunson. But it's more of an older version. So we're going to see, man. I think that's going to – both of these series going to be good series, man. But, yeah, we're going to see.
So, okay, you have SGA and Brunson, Tyrese. None of those are bigs. So do you see the league transition into more guard-centric play where guards are going to be leading their team? Do you see like an Embiid or a Sengun? I guess Wimby would probably be the exception because I foresee him leading teams to conference finals. But I guess in the future, do you see it being just more of a guard-centric league?
Yeah, I think it's already shifted like that. I think when Curry really came in and stepped into that star role that he's in, we started to see that shift with a three ball, with guards just becoming elite, like outside of like Kawhi, LeBron, Jokic, Embiid, like a lot of these teams are led by guards. Even you look at Boston, I mean, you got Tatum, but I mean, and Giannis. But other than that, a lot of these teams are led by guards.
Okay, SGA, AE, Tyrese, Jalen, rank them 1 to 4.
Tyrese 4, Jalen Brunson 3. This is my list. You can look how you want to look. This is my list. Like I said, 4, Halliburton, 3, Brunson, 2, SGA, 1, Ant-Man. And I know SGA in the MVP conversation, cool. Ant-Man better than him. I don't care. If I'm starting a team, Ant-Man is my number one pick out of those four guys.
I would go AE1, Brunson 2, SGA 3, Tyrese 4.
All right, we had two similar. Okay. Why Brunson over SGA?
I've seen Brunson in more big games make big plays, and I just haven't watched a lot of OKC this regular season to see that from SGA. I don't think he can do it, but I think with all of the pressures that Jalen Brunson had to deal with New York, beating Boston, you know, getting through that series with the Knicks, and when some of his role players weren't, you know, performing, he came through. I think that matters. And I do believe in the narrative that SGA relied a lot on the free throw line. And I think Jalen Brunson kind of does the same thing, but I've seen him make tougher shots in bigger moments. So that's the only, and it's not a big margin, but I would put Jalen Brunson based on what I've seen thus far.
Okay. I'm just not a fan of how Brunson plays. So that's a big factor in my decision in putting him third. If you ain't picked up on that yet.
Yeah, I feel you. It's your list. I can't even knock it. It's your list. So, okay, you have Thibodeau, Deaton Hall, Chris Finch, buddy from Rick from the Mavericks. Who's the Pacers coach?
Carlisle.
Rick Carlisle. Mm-hmm. Who's the best coach in that list?
What are we, like, what's the scenario? Just like, ranking them off of this year, or like, are we ranking them off of this year? Like, are we?
Yeah, yeah. Who's the guest star this season? It was okay.
At four, I'm gonna go. I don't know how much coaching has to do with it though. Like, I know it's an important piece, but like,
you and this coaching,
bro. I'm always of the mind that like the players gotta hoop, bro. Like, yeah. Players gotta go out and hoop at the end of the day, bro. Like, it's only so much a coach can do, in my opinion. That's just how I feel about coaching. Like, I'm not saying anybody can get up there and coach, but like at the end of the day, the players gotta make plays.
For me, I would go Finch one, I would go Carlisle two, Deaton Hall, then Thibodeau.
Okay, but why? Like, what's your reasoning behind putting Finch at one?
So, I mean, just going back to the beginning of the season, the Timberwolves were performing under expectations. A lot of that was them trying to figure out this Julius Randle and Dante. Yeah,
you know, thank you. Like, JR, bro. Don't you start with that again this week.
JR. Matter of fact, shout out to JR, man. I'm good, bro.
JR Smith? He back?
Man, shout out to JR, bro. But anyway, they were performing under expectations, and he had to do a lot of experimenting with that roster to try to figure out what rosters worked the best at certain times. And like, I could see it. And so even when I was texting you in the during the playoffs, during the Warriors series, it's like, man, why is Rudy out there? Like, why is Rudy in the game, because they're starting off slow? And I felt like as the series progressed, he kind of understood that as well. And, you know, he made some adjustments in the middle of the series. And he makes a lot of in-game adjustments. And, you know, I know we're not using the historical data, but I think he needed those losses early on in AE's prime when he was coaching, even the one we got injured, to, like, become a better coach. And I can see the evolution. I would want Chris Finch if I was starting a team. I think that's kind of the opposite point I have with Thibodeau. Seems like Thibodeau don't ever change. Regardless, it seems like he has a plan. Everybody's gonna play defense. Everybody's gonna play 48 minutes. We're just gonna pray we get close late. And I just feel like there could be more in-game adjustments. Carlisle, I think Carlisle, not even just this season, but the way he's reinvented himself from the Mavericks into the Pacers, like, their offense suits their team, and it's not an NBA style offense. He's running up and down, guarding 90 feet. And I think he understood the players that he had and was able to build around the personnel and coach the personnel. And he feels like a college coach. And, you know, sometimes when I'm looking at him, and I think that reinvention is just added on to my list. Deaton Hall, like I just said before, I just think he just lacked.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Experience. But there were some times I think he was just out there like, hey, SGA, save us. I don't think that's necessarily going to work. But, you know, shout out for him getting Coach of the Year considerations. But I just feel like in terms of the growth, this is where it matters. Go beat the Timberwolves and let's see what you do in the finals. So it's going to be interesting, but it's neck and neck.
Okay, so you had Finch at one. You had Tibbs at four. What was two and three again?
Carlisle two, Deaton Hall three. Whatever his last name, Mark Deaton Hall.
Yeah, like, when I think about it, like, as you were talking, like, the one thing that stands out to me is, like, when you look at these rosters, the Pacers have the worst roster. So, like, the first thing that comes to my mind is Carlisle. Like, he would probably be first. Like, their roster wasn't expected to be here. So I look at that alone. That has to be some type of coaching. Like, you had to play it. Like I said, the players do have to make plays. But, like, in order for them to get in that situation, he had to put them in that situation. I don't think anybody could have took that roster to an Eastern Conference Finals. I would probably put Carlisle one. I think when you look at Thibodeau and you look at Finch, they both had to navigate the trade, right? Bringing in Julius Randle or bringing in Cat. you got to navigate that. I think you talked about Tibbs not changing, but it works, as we see. Like, yeah, we doubted him in the regular season. We couldn't beat none of the top teams. We lost to the Celtics. We lost to the Cavaliers. We lost to the Thunder. We lost to all the top teams. You come in the playoffs, you do the same, exact same thing. The starter's been playing 40 minutes, 30-plus minutes, and it works.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, well, maybe Tibbs was right.
Hey,
we got to look at that, too. So, at two, I think two and three is like flip-flop. I'm probably going to go Finch. I just like Anthony Edwards' game, bro. I just love his game, bro. So that's gonna That's gonna give his coach the nod over Tibbs. All that.
Yeah. Like you said, it's like, okay, is this Phil Jackson or Michael Jordan? Like, I'm trying to figure out like how much of this is like Finch influencing AE in his production, or is this AE making Finch look good?
and we saw that relationship last year when the man got hurt. When Finch got hurt on the sideline, bro, like, it was riding for Buddy, bro. Like, I like seeing that relationship between the star and the coach, man. I like that. So I'm going to put Finch at two. I'm going to go Tibbs at three. And OKC coach at four. Like you said, he just lacks the experience. They had a great regular season. No knock on him at all. But I got to see what he does in the postseason, especially in this series against the Timberwolves.
Yeah. Okay. So, as a Knicks fan, I know who you want to win the NBA Finals, right? But out of the three, if the Knicks weren't in it, like, let's take the Knicks out, who would you want to see win the Finals?
Timberwolves.
Yeah, I agree.
Bro, like I said, bro, I just love Ed Game, bro. I like his energy, bro. I like how he be talking. And he back it up on the court, bro. He not ducking no smoke, bro.
Bro, he didn't duck smoke with Barack.
Them boys know I'm like that. Ask them.
Yeah. And I mean, I think so on Adam Silver's wish list, I think number one, he wants the Knicks to win. Man, the Knicks winning and having that fan base ride this offseason would be electric. But I think number two, he would want AE. Because, you know, some people aren't a fan of the antics, but he gets clicks, he gets views. And I can't imagine the trash talk. If he beats the Lakers, if he beats Curry, and he wins the finals,
hey, that Adidas rollout about to be crazy.
But I didn't think about that.
They already been going crazy with his shoes, bro. Don't let him win a championship, bro. Adidas about to be up. Forget the Timberwolves. Adidas about to be up,
bro. It's he will get a statue immediately in Minnesota, like. And he would be the biggest ever, like KG, Kevin Love. No, hey.
We were just talking about this last week.
Yeah, I think it won't be an exciting for non-basketball fans to see Minnesota win, but I think for the basketball heads and for like people who actually care about the game, man, it's one of those things where like he literally would be the default face of the league if he won. So, yeah,
thing I'll add about these four players, when we're talking about AE, SGA, Halliburton, Brunson, these boys got a chance to win a chip. This would be their first chip. So whoever wins, it's up. Now, one thing I'm wondering about, when you look at, let's say the Pacers win and let's say the Thunder win, are you watching that series?
I mean, I would tune in because it gives us content and storylines, and I like the game, but it would be a nasty game, personally. It would be a nasty game.
Yeah, I wonder what the viewership numbers would look like for that series, because like you got two small markets, you got people who think Halliburton's overrated. Got people who think SGA is a foul merchant. So it's like, yo, who do you root for? Who are you rooting for in that series if it were to happen?
Yeah, like, what's the storyline? Like, I feel like the biggest storyline would have been Halliburton's daddy. Like, I think, you know, And obviously we saw a little bit of that with Tyrese and Dame, like him going back and forth. But there's no, like, this year is just, and there's no disrespect. He's just such a nice guy. Like, he's not, you know, in nobody facing nothing. He's just going to hoop. And you need storylines, man. I can just see, man, Ant stepping on the Knicks logo, looking at Spike. Man, that would be bigger than Reggie Miller, bro. Like, that.
Yeah.
Bro, yeah. I'm tuned in. I don't care what time it is. I'm happy. That is best.
Yeah.
Game time. I just don't know if like that. There's no storylines with that Pacers Thunder series. I mean, you got Cat coming back. Like, I think the league wants to see that next Timberwolves series.
That would be crazy for both teams to make the finals when we know that trade happened earlier in the season. Like,
yeah,
that would be crazy to see the Knicks versus the Timberwolves, the last two teams standing for a chance to take home that Larry O'Brien.
Yeah, because I think whoever loses that, it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the offseason. Like, there's going to be conversations. Like, I mean, especially the Wolves lose. If you're that close in the finals, you got to make a big move. Like, you're in the win now mode. So I think
two years in a row at that, because you got to think they dropped off in the Western Conference Finals last year.
Right. So do you move Rudy? You know, all these questions, and I think for New York. I honestly think there is more pressure on the Wolves. Like, if it was a Knicks-Wolves series, there's a little bit more pressure on the Wolves than it is the Knicks, because the Knicks did not expect to be here. I think they thought Boston was going to be here secretly, like, we can admit it. But the Wolves, like, you were just in the Western Conference Finals, and I think that they expected to go in and win. And for the Knicks, I think it's just such a big enough market. They'll be back. Like, there's no drop-off. For the Wolves, it's some interesting conversations, because now we were talking about before, who do you pay, right? When Nas Reed's contract comes up, Jaden McDaniels. So that's why I want to see AE win now. Because if we're even entertaining face of the league conversations and even good, like the comparisons to Mike, he has to start winning now. Like, I don't know if there's going to be any more dynasties like the, you know, 84 Bulls anymore. Like, I just feel like you're going to have to get your championships sporadically now rather than doing six in a row. We're not going to see Cavs Warriors again, my opinion.
Yeah. And I think it was a post out there that said there's been like a different champion in the past, what, 7 years or something like that?
Yeah.
In the NBA. Exactly. So like you talked about, to your point, gotta take advantage of it when you got that window. Do you think the winner of the Western Conference is going to win the NBA Finals? Or do you think Indiana or New York has a shot? Because you talked about how both of them didn't really expect to be there.
I only think the Knicks have a shot. Like, I think the Pacers are a little one-dimensional for me. I like I said before, for some odd reason, I can't get that game four or game five Cat game in Detroit, what he did. I was like, is that still tucked in the chamber? Like, if we see that kind of Cat with, like you said, last game, how everybody had 20s, I think they can win multiple ways, because you can still have games where Brunson drops 44. And it's like, okay. And I think that they can beat the Thunder, because I think the Thunder could just get there and just be inexperienced. I can see a lot of standing around, and I think Brunson, he wants this. The Wolves, if they win, I think that they can beat both teams easily, my opinion. So it would have to be the Thunder. But to answer your question, I think if it's the Wolves, then yeah, that go ahead and hand them the ring, personally. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think the Thunder have enough. Like we talked about with their style of play. Just a lot of standing around. Like, I don't think they take advantage of the mismatches when they have them. Like, you got 2 7-footers on the court, bro. Like, pull somebody up, bro. Like, I know Hartenstein is known for his passing ability, but, bro, like, check. Get on the block, bro. You're 7'2".
Yeah.
Go pull somebody up, bro. Do it. Get a post fade or something, bro. Go over the shoulder, hook shot, something, bro. Like, you should not just be standing on the three-point line, bro. I don't think that's winning y'all the championship. You just standing on the three-point line.
Yeah. Who's the best number two out of all those four teams?
Cat.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's been the most consistent out of because I mean, shoot, is Siakam's the number two? Is Miles Turner number two? Who's the number two for Indiana? You could make a case for Julius Randle possibly.
Yeah, I was thinking Julius. I forgot about Cat, but yeah, I would say Cat.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay, last thing I want to talk about. So we have the Curry injury. We have Ja, went down with the hip. We have these alleged injuries with JB. And you have Michael Porter Jr. And we saw in game 7 that Aaron Gordon was out with the knee. Is there anything to these injuries? Because people have been saying it's because of the playoff format. I know we texted online about, people bogus because this has been the same thing. But do you think that there's any merit seeing all these injuries happen in the playoffs? Do you think there needs to be a change in the regular season or the format they do in the playoffs? Because Barkley was talking about a little bit with the Nuggets and how they were treated unfairly because they had to play a late game on Friday and they had to turn around and play on, I think, Sunday morning or something like that. But I'm just like, I don't think there's been any big changes. So what are your thoughts on that?
Like I told you, man, they bogus, bro. They bogus. I'm standing on that. Like everybody always say, these boys getting paid millions of dollars, man. You getting 2 to 3 days off. Take advantage of it. You should know how to recover. Treat your body. Everybody hurt. We hear that in the playoffs. Everybody hurt. You either going to play through it or you're not. When you step on that court, you lace up them shoes, it's time to go. You getting judged off you being on the court. If you hurt, bro, go sit down. Don't even play. We saw Curry ain't come back. If you that hurt, go sit down, bro. I don't want to hear when you get eliminated. Oh, bro, I played through this injury. I don't care, bro. I don't care.
Yeah.
If you was that hurt, you should have went to go sit down.
I'm with you, bro. And the thing is, I hate when it comes out after y'all lost. Like, now's not the time to talk about it because you did not play well. And it just makes me think if everything would have gone well, like same argument I was making with MPJ, I could have made that about Jaylen Brown. Because if he would have sat in Madison Square Garden and dropped 45, we wouldn't have heard a peep about the meniscus.
We wouldn't have.
And it's just trying to use those injuries as a scapegoat. And it's kind of disrespectful. And I'm not saying, I don't know if he's injured or not, but it's disrespectful to people who actually are injured. Like Curry can say that because Curry, they won a game and his injuries did affect that. I don't think even if Jaylen Brown was healthy that they were winning that series. We just weren't playing well and our strategy didn't work. And that's just okay to say that and keep going. But in terms of the playoff format, I think this is the best model. You get a day of rest. Everybody gets a day of rest. Go back out there and play. Strategize. This is why your bench matters. And then the thing for Jalen, it's like we had the best bench and best collective talent in the league. So it's like there was no excuse for us to lose. And I hate when it comes out afterwards. Like this is like, oh my gosh, Adam Silver's fault. No, it's yours. Make shots.
Excuses. I don't want to hear the excuses, bro.
I agree, bro. Man, but listen, we got a lot more to talk about. Like we got to hop again. We got to hop on again and talk about these previews for the conference finals. Everybody in here, man, if y'all are watching, man, continue to comment, like, subscribe. We want to hear what you got to say. Not even just with what's happening on the court, but even some of your teams off-season moves, what y'all are going to do. Give us some ideas of what we need to talk about moving forward with the NBA content as we move into the finals coverage and off-season coverage. But like always, man, we appreciate y'all for watching this much, and I pray that y'all just go share it with somebody. Teach people how to win a shot, man. Give the world your takes. Now make sure they're right and factual, because we're coming for you if they're not.
Be bogus.
Yeah, don't be bogus. But we got plenty of content. Like John and Hundo are recording WNBA content. And as the college seasons roll back through with college football, college basketball, we'll have more content coming for you that way. And like we promised, week to week, as these NBA games go through, we're going to be hopping on live, talking about it, each game, each series, each coach, everything. So like always, man, we pray that you just continue to tap in and invite a friend to watch the next episode. But until then, peace.